Welcome back to this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, along with Doug Wortham. You can hear our show on weekends, Sunday mornings at 7 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug joined me a year or several years ago when he was still in the military and working into a position. How do you like hosting Minnesota Military Radio?
Well, I'll tell you, first off, I absolutely love the opportunity to stay connected with our service members, hear those stories, share the stories, share the benefits and resources. And then, of course, getting to experience this special edition here on Memorial Day, it brings it to a whole new level doing the live in studio broadcast. But it's been fantastic, and I'm looking forward to many years to come, Tom.
Well, we started out the show at 6 o'clock with Chaplain Wen. There's no better way to start the day in my book and talk about that stuff. And, of course, Director Kelly joined us from the Minneapolis VA. And now your old boss is here. Would you like to introduce him?
Yeah, it's great. Major General Sean Mankey, who's the Adjutant General for the Minnesota National Guard, is here joining us in studio. And it's great to have you with us here on this special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. General, welcome.
Hey, Doug and Tom, thanks for having me back for the third year. And what an important day today is as we remember and memorialize our fallen soldiers and service members. So honored to be in the studio today and representing the nearly 13,000 Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers and airmen.
You know, you talk about honoring the day. That's what Memorial Day is all about. And we've already heard the explanation, the differences between the Veterans Day celebration, Memorial Day celebration. And we've had the opportunity to talk about why the day is important. Everybody has some type of a story or a special thought or a meaning for today. Is there something in your mind that always comes to light as we celebrate Memorial Day?
Absolutely. You know, and I go back to my time when I was a lieutenant. I was in a unit in Germany, and April 14th, 1994, when two Black Hawks were shot down over northern Iraq, I was in that unit as a young lieutenant, and we lost 26 service members that day, four of them very good friends of mine. So a very difficult day as we look back, but I just think of that today on Memorial Day, as well as 5 December 2019 when we had the aircraft mishap up out near Marty, Minnesota, up out of St. Cloud, where I lost Chief Warrant Officer James Rogers, Chief Warrant Officer Charles Nord, and Warrant Officer Candidate Court Plattenberg. Just a tough day for three great Americans, and as we memorialize their contributions to our nation and our state, it makes me think of that each and every Memorial Day that I have.
And what we do know is if we talk about them, we say their names, they'll never be forgotten. And I think that's an important key.
Absolutely.
In general, today's one of those days, I think all your troops and everybody that works gets a three-day weekend, and it's great for them to get together with their families. It's wonderful to stick together, have another day off, but Memorial Day is a special day. It's a day, it's not Veterans Day where we thank veterans. There's veterans in this room, but it's a day to thank those people that gave their lives to this country so that we could enjoy the freedom that we enjoy to have picnics and barbecues and do things. And in a day, as a civilian, I can say this, we can go about our business. We can do anything we want for 90% of the people in the United States because of those 1% who serve and risk their lives and go out there and do it. I, for one, I thank God that I got back from Vietnam over 50 years ago, but I think of all of those guys that didn't, and the memorial wall's in town today, and I hope everybody goes and looks at that. But I also think about the MIA and KIA that we never were able to bring home, and we've heard stories from the Patriot Guard when they repatriate those bodies. We've heard all kinds of stories today, but it's a day to honor those who served and gave their all for their country, and I think that's something people can too easily forget.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Tom, and it's a day to pause, reflect, and as Doug said, say their names so we never forget their names, and you know, there's many that have lost their, given the ultimate sacrifice in a time of conflict, but also there's many that have given their lives through a training mishap or something like that, and we memorialize all of them.
And, of course, General, we don't want anything bad to happen to anybody, but as the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard, you've got a lot of lives at stake and a lot of people out there training, and when duty calls and if they've got to deploy overseas or if they've got to be called up to state duty, Now, those people are risking their lives, too. We hope they get home safe. They're trained up. They've been getting home safe for a long time, but that's a lot of responsibility to make sure that they're given the best opportunity to get home back safely to their families.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the Minnesota National Guard remains relevant. You know, we have... Today, we've got over 200 soldiers from the division in Croatia supporting immediate response and exercise, UCOM exercise, and we've got over 600 soldiers from our infantry battalion, 2-135 in North Macedonia doing the same. And then later this month, we've got airmen from both the 148th and the 133rd going to Germany for an exercise supporting UCOM. So, you know, we remain relevant. The things that we do can have some risks associated with them. We do everything we can to reduce that risk and mitigate that risk, but you know, we want to be trained and ready to do that. And you know, I think part of what makes our soldiers and airmen stick around is the relevancy of what they're doing, and do they feel they're actually contributing to the greater good of the United States military? And I can honestly say that I think we are.
Doug, you participated in the NOREX exchange, Norwegian American exchanges, and that went on for 50 years. Now that's upgraded. We need to point that out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've now become an official state, part of the state partnership program, which is a great way to solidify that relationship even deeper. So, yeah, congratulations to the Minnesota National Guard in Norway.
Yeah, thanks. You know, and just like you said, I think we'll be able to deepen and broaden that relationship. You know, it's been historically with the Norwegian Home Guard, and, you know, I think Norway is eager to deepen that relationship with our Air Force 148th and 133rd, as well as the land component over there, with operationally more with our units over here.
And the expansion of the training opportunities just got to be unbelievable as you talk about getting outside of not only the Home Guard, but into the rest of the military forces.
Yeah, and I will tell you from just coming back from over there that, you know, we have the Ukraine conflict certainly focused for here, but I can tell you it's, you know, ramp it up probably 5 or 6 steps, and that's what Norway feels, because it's her neighbor in the north. And, you know, there's a lot of attention for them to make sure that they have their forces ready if needed. And we want to be part of that, mutually beneficial, where we can learn from each other. And Norway is a, you know, they've been a NATO partner for a long time. They've got world-class equipment, world-class soldiers and airmen and sailors.
General, a little easier to understand those partnerships with Ukraine or with Norway and Croatia when you find out that the California National Guard was a partnership with Ukraine for many years before this conflict began, and early in a year ago they said that it helped a lot to withstand that early onslaught. The training really is important, isn't it?
It is, you know, and the thing that the National Guard brings that, you know, our active duty components do not is we have more stability in our ranks. So relationships that CSM Wortham built when he was in the Guard, you know, he still knows those people over there, and likewise that I build, you know, and we're here for a while, and really we push that to our junior soldiers so they establish that relationship. So as they progress through the ranks, pretty soon, you know, some of our junior leaders will be command sergeants majors, or maybe the command senior enlisted leader, or the adjutant general, and they've had that relationship with these countries for literally, you know, tens if not 20 years.
Well, it's one thing you have to think about every year, because you've got a certain number of your force that retire and get out. You've got to keep filling in behind and keep bringing up those people so that they can maintain these relationships.
Yeah, you know, and I think we would all agree that once you have a relationship with someone, it's harder to say no, and you have that credibility with them. So if you're serving shoulder to shoulder doing something and you've known them for a while, you have that trust and shared understanding, it makes you a lot more efficient. A lot more effective.
You know they're going to cover your back and they'll be there. Doug, I remember when you were a command sergeant major, you were traveling all the time. That's pretty important, all those relationships.
Well, it certainly is, you know, and especially as you move up the ranks, the relationships that you're able to build because of exactly what you're talking about. You do have that camaraderie, you have that respect, and, you know, we've talked in here many times that it's much easier to pick up the phone and call somebody in a time of need when you've already had an established relationship versus trying to establish a relationship when it's an emergency.
Yeah, absolutely. And the technology today, I mean, our junior soldiers are talking to each other through WhatsApp, through text messaging, through other means to know what's going on. You know, and if they have a question, you know, Croatia just fielded four UH-60s and they signed an agreement to buy eight more. We have the same model UH-60s here in Minnesota, and our mechanics, our technicians, our pilots, they're chatting back and forth, talking back and forth. If there's a question, if we have a question, they may help us, or otherwise we can help them with something. And it'll be the same thing as Croatia. They're moving forward with Bradley fielding. With our Armor Brigade combat team here in Minnesota, it's going to continue to expand. And then on the Norwegian side, the 148th out of Duluth, they've already done a couple interflies where we've flown our jets down to Luke Air Force Base and trained with Norway in their F-35. So it's continuing to evolve, to your point.
Those relationships cut out some red tape too, don't they?
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, we have a special guest joining us, an old friend of the Minnesota National Guard, Lieutenant General John Jensen. General Jensen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day 2023.
Hey, Tom, good morning. It's great to be with you and Doug Wortham and Sean Mankey. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine, sir, and it wouldn't be a Memorial Day without you joining us on the show. Your standing order is still sitting here in my briefcase.
Well, I just appreciate that you... You continue to let me play just a tiny part of this show. And, I've listened to all 3 hours, starting with Buddy Wynn and the whole team there. And I'm just exceptionally proud of that Minnesota team. There's a lot of very familiar people that you have on the show today and a lot of familiar stories. And it's just an honor to be a small part of this, Tom. Thank you.
General, it's hard to believe that this is the third time that you've joined us as Director of the Army National Guard, which means you're a 3-star general and in charge of the Army National Guard all over the entire country. And for you to take time to join us today, it's great. But how did 3 years pass already, sir?
You know, that first year was kind of slow. I kind of thought I was swimming in quicksand. But after that first year, it's really gone by fast. Obviously a lot of activity across the globe dealing with the Army National Guard. Last week I was in Europe, Germany, Poland, Romania, Kosovo. Saw some great soldiers from Minnesota, to include the 147th Finance Detachment in Poznan, Poland. Ran into a couple Red Bulls from the 34th Infantry Division headquarters in Romania. You just can't go anywhere in the world without running into our Red Bull is what I've learned. So, Sean, good job of keeping those guys out there working for us.
Hey, yes, sir. And I think you would agree that when they're relevant, they're motivated, they do great work. And we got a tremendous team, tremendous organization that continue to raise a bar for all of us.
Yeah, and I just like to highlight the soldiers from the 147th Finance Detachment. I saw those, I think CSM were them. I think you and I saw them in Kuwait a couple years ago when you were still working with me. But they were the first finance detachment to get to this part of Europe, and playing a critical role in the morale of our soldiers there. Prior to that, our soldiers had to go on the economy with their debit cards to get local currency. We're racking up some pretty big fees. But our great soldiers from Minnesota rolled in as the 147th Finance Detachment and have been able to provide that service at no cost to our soldiers, and it really has helped with the morale there. So well done, Minnesota National Guard.
General, you're right. I do remember that trip, and I remember another trip that you and I had together, and that was over into Iraq, 2009, 2010. And as this day rolls around, Memorial Day, I think about the soldiers that we lost while we were serving together in Iraq. And I wonder what special meaning or what thoughts come to your mind on a day like today where we think about those who've paid that sacrifice.
Yeah, thanks for that, Doug. And absolutely, I remember those great soldiers from the 34th MP Company. And Sean, your story about our great aviators out of St. Cloud back in December of 19, I remember those. But let me, if I just real quick, a quick story, and I think it kind of helped maybe people understand about Never Forget. And I'd like to tell the story of Private First Class Robert Alexander from Tolley, North Dakota. Robert was a World War II veteran. He joins the Army. Ultimately, he ends up in the Pacific Theater with the 105th Infantry Regiment, part of the 27th Infantry Division. He fights in the Battle of Saipan. He goes missing in action. His remains ultimately are interned in the Philippines, although they don't know it's Robert at the time. He's just in a grave, and through the great Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, in January 2019, they take his remains, they disinter him, they send him to Pearl Harbor. In June of 2022, they identify him as Robert Alexander from Tolley, North Dakota. And last Veterans Day, I was honored to be at Arlington National Cemetery as we interned him in Arlington National Cemetery. And I only got there, and I only know his story because of our Colonel Jason Benson, our great Jason Benson. Him and his wife Julie just reached out to me, said that they were going to be in town, invited me to come over and help pay honors to Robert, and you know, obviously I was very honored to do so. So a young man who left home, fight for our country, 78 years missing, finally was identified and brought home and given the due honors that he deserved. It was just a reminder. We don't ever forget.
Yeah, General, what a great story, and it is important. You know, again, say their names. Let's not forget. Remember what the meaning of this day is, and that is to remember the ultimate sacrifice of those who've served defending our freedoms.
And yeah, General, this is Tom Beck, but in the face of all that, and in the faces of losses and in wars and losses that go on, unfortunately, all the time, we've still got to recruit some fine young men and women to come up and fill those positions so that we can take care of things going forward, despite the fact that we occasionally lose some of our soldiers and airmen.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And, you know, Sean will tell you this is an item I talk with our adjutants general about every time we get together, and really, again, attracting quality young men and young women into our National Guard, into our military. You know, it's not just the National Guard, but our entire Department of Defense is so important to ensure that we preserve the rights and freedoms that previous generations have sacrificed so much for. What I remember, you know, 40 years ago, if you can remember, 40 years ago, November 1982, I enlisted into the National Guard for what I was convinced was going to be 6 years of service, and that was it. And then here I am over 40 years later, still serving, and have served with just the best men and the best women I could ever be around. And they have changed my life. They have impacted my life, as I hope I've been able to do that in a small fashion to their lives as well. So it's very important.
Many of us have had that same story. I was going to do 6 years back in 1987 and made it until 2019. So we're glad that you continue to serve, because you've done some great things inside our organization and of course, now doing great things out at the national level.
No, thanks. Thanks, Doug. But, you know, what really means a lot to me is, you know, my ability to reconnect with Minnesota. And so whether it's the radio show here or being a part of the veterans recognition we did with the Vikings back in November, on and on, it's just a privilege to call myself a Minnesota National Guardsman. You know, while I have a more national focus than I used to, I'm so very honored and proud to call myself a Minnesota National Guardsman and a Red Bull.
And sir, I think, you know, the other thing of that is, we get so much from serving, and our soldiers and airmen get so many opportunities. I mean, some of the soldiers from 2 of the 135, the first time they've ever been out of the country, and here they're in North Macedonia, and they're going to get to see one of the oldest cities in the world. And then through your relationships that you developed when you were the adjutant general, I mean, many of the senior Croatian officers that I engaged with last week asked how you were doing and said, give my best regards. And you certainly continue to be the ambassador for not only the Minnesota National Guard, but the entire National Guard and really our entire Army. So thank you.
No, thanks for that, Sean. And great friends from Croatia, from Norway, too, are two great partners. As a matter of fact, I just had the Croatian ambassador and defense attaché over Thursday night for dinner. Just a just to reconnect again, and we talked about immediate response and what the Red Bulls are doing down there and how proud we are of this great relationship and being with you in Norway earlier this year to sign the paperwork for, you know, formalizing that relationship into a state partnership. It's just been an honor, and we really live on the hard work, the dedication, and the sacrifices of the soldiers and leaders that came before. So it's just been my honor to provide, you know, what little bit I can to everything.
General, we're just about out of time. This is Tom again. I got one more question for you. You started out as a combat medic way back when. Is that guy still in there?
I think somewhere. Maybe I don't screw off as much as I used to when I was that young PFC specialist running around. But yeah, I think so. I think I still look at this as just a big team, and you know, I've always been someone that was interested in being part of teams and contributing to a team and the success of a team. So yeah, I'll tell you, Tom, he's still in there. He's just, maybe he's a little bit muted compared to where he was, you know, 40 years ago.
Well, the days he wakes up have to be good days, sir. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Memorial Day. And I understand we're hoping to see you at the Minnesota State Fair.
That's the current plan. I'll be there for a Military Appreciation Day and be a part of that great institution. We haven't been back to a state fair since 2019. And so we're really looking forward to that event and catching up with everybody.
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks for the honor and privilege to join you today. And Doug and Sean, thanks for everything that you continue to do for our team back home. Take care, everybody. Be well.
Thanks, all right, sir. Have a good day.
That was Lieutenant General John Jensen, Director of the Army National Guard, and a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. This Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, the host of Minnesota Military Radio, along with retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. And our special guest host is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Gentlemen, we've got a very special guest joining us right now, and that would be Senator Amy Klobuchar. Senator Klobuchar, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day 2023.
Well, thanks so much, Tom, and I'm looking forward to going out to Fort Snelling in a few minutes and, of course, seeing all of our families and our veterans, and it's a beautiful Minnesota day to honor those that made the ultimate sacrifice.
Senator, we had Fort Snelling on earlier in the day, and I think they're all ready. I was out there yesterday, and it was busy even yesterday, but Chaplain Wynn dialed up some nice weather for you, so I think you're going to have a great day out there.
Yeah, we seem to usually have a lot of rain, so this is kind of unique, and it'll be nice to be able to be out there without so many of our incredible, incredible patriots out there, and they're always holding umbrellas, and there's people in their 80s and 90s, and so anyway, I think this will be nice for everyone, and especially, and not just at Fort Snelling, but all the small towns across our state. There's so many moments here,
Senator,
where we remember. Yeah.
This is Doug, and I just wanted to find out from you. You know, we talk about Memorial Day, and we all have somebody that we think about or some event. Is there anything particular that just really stands out for you, or what are you thinking about today?
Well, really, for me, I always think about my dad, who served during the Korean War, and he is buried at Fort Snelling, right near where we do the ceremony. And this year, I actually researched some of those that are buried right near him, because I think one of the things about today is we honor not just those we lost in our own lives. And they actually served during World War II, and two of them never returned and were lost in battle. So I'm going to tell their stories today. And then also, actually, I was thinking of family that we gave the Purple Heart to recently. And this was a guy named Charles Shepard, and he served during World War I. His squadron was attacked by the German army, and a bomb injured one of their corporals. And they could have just abandoned him. It was very clear that he probably wasn't going to make it. But just in this tribute to the spirit of Memorial Day, they weren't going to leave him to die alone. They took him out, and as they were carrying the stretcher, Charles Shepard got shot and still had the shrapnel in his arm to the end. And he was able to make it back home, but of course the corporal did not. And just that thought that they refused to abandon their own corporal, even when they knew he wasn't going to make it, the weight of the sacrifice and the responsibility to honor those that we leave behind, that is, to me, just the essence of what Memorial Day is about.
It's great to always remember. And one of the things that I understand you've been working on, you've got a bipartisan bill going in there about naming or renaming some post offices in memory of our fallen Minnesota Guardsmen. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, exactly. And we remember those three that died in the helicopter crash. Sergeant Plantenberg and Chief Warrant Officer Norden, Chief Warrant Officer Rogers. And as you know, that helicopter went down in the middle of a farm field, and many of us have been out there and saw how that family just happened to own that farm field, and they put up a flagpole, and now it's a beautiful monument. Well, we wanted to make sure they also got honored in their hometowns, and that's why I worked with Representatives Emmer and Fischbach, as well as Senator Smith, to pass legislation to name their local post offices in Avon, Perham, and Winsted. And we actually passed it. And so that is happening. It's gotten signed into law.
And, Senator, this is Major General Mankey. I just really want to say thank you for that. I know it means a lot to us as Guard soldiers, but also to the families. And likewise, the recognition of the Purple Heart, I was able to be a part of that a ceremony with you earlier today, and you know, let us never forget and give people credit for where credit's is due. And I know his son who received the medal on behalf of him was extremely grateful. So thank you for all you do for our veterans and for help us memorialize this day and remember the fallen.
Well, thank you. And I also think the other way reason, Major General, no one knows this better than you. We honor our veterans and those who made sacrifices by how we treat those that are still serving. And I appreciated all the work everyone has done. I've gone around the state with Guard and Reserve and active duty on the PACT Act. As you know, many of our Minnesota National Guard members got sick when they were stationed next to burn pits, and we finally got that done on a bipartisan basis. And I will note that this debt agreement, the proposed debt agreement that was just reached, the bipartisan agreement actually preserves that funding to make sure that they will continue to get their medical benefits that they need. So it's a very timely that we talk about this issue because they're still going to be able to get their benefits. And I know the Guard and our office and really all the congressional offices have been working with people to make sure they get their benefits and they know how to make their claims, which is pretty straightforward to do at 1-800-MY-VA-411.
And that is so much appreciated, so thank you.
Yep.
Senator, this is Tom again. We've been talking on the show all morning about remembering those we lost in Vietnam, those we lost in various wars, and you brought up the PACT Act. It opens a window for our veterans to put in a claim as far back as Vietnam or the oil fields burning in Kuwait, the burn pits of Afghanistan. It was incredible legislation, but it gave about a one-year window, and we want to encourage our veterans to get their claim in soon.
That's exactly right. And what it did was add 23 presumptive conditions. So say Amy Mueller died of pancreatic cancer, and that's an example of one. And her, you know, husband worked with us to get the bill done. But there are a number of conditions. And then for Agent Orange, for Vietnam vets and others, it adds two new conditions, but one of them is high blood pressure. And so I noticed that getting around the state and meeting with our veteran service officers, we did educational programs about what counts and how you can file your claims. And they are really knowledgeable about this. Which is why we're urging people to either call our office or that number I just gave, 1-800-MY-VA-411. 411 or go on the website, right, for the VA in order to make the claims. But it's really helpful to work with your local veteran service officer and to call them, because they will have tips about what gets covered and how you do it. And if you at first get rejected, how you could refile. There's all kinds of complexities, as there is to many things. But the bottom line is we put significant funding into this. So this isn't just something you file and the check never comes in the mail. The checks are actually coming in the mail. People are being able to see doctors. They're being able to get things covered. And I think that's really important for people to know.
Senator, I want to thank you for taking time to call in today. Could you tell our listeners again, what time does the ceremony happen out at Fort Snelling? And you're speaking today, are you not?
Yes, I am. The ceremony starts at 10 a.m. And again, a beautiful day for a change. I'm hoping we don't have to have umbrellas. I'm not going to be the weather person here today, but yeah. It looks like a nice day out there.
It was pretty nice out there yesterday with lots of folks, and I saw them setting up more chairs this year than I think I've ever seen, so there should be a good crowd out there.
Exactly.
So I hope you have a good opportunity to talk to those about remembering all those who've given the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks so much, Tom. Thank you, and thank you, Major General.
Thank you, Senator. Have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Senator Amy Klobuchar. Gentlemen, we're going to keep going here, but in a few minutes, we're going to have the governor calling in, and we're going to ask him if he's going to be out at Fort Snelling. Is Zach, is he calling in right away? Okay, he's going to be. There he is. Governor, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, General Mankey.
Good morning, sir.
There he is, Governor Tim Walz, Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard, back with us on Minnesota Military Radio. And Governor, we're in the studio today with Doug Wortham and, of course, Adjutant General. And Doug's got a question for you, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Well, Governor, good to hear your voice. Last time I saw you, we were at the Norwegian banquet honoring that celebration of 50 years. But the question I want to ask you, I've been asking each of our guests and trying to get a perspective. As the governor, obviously you served previously, you served as a Command Sergeant Major inside of the Minnesota National Guard. And I'm wondering, as the governor, does Memorial Day mean more to you, something different than you, than it did when you were serving inside of our National Guard?
Well, good morning, Sergeant Major Wortham. It's good to hear your voice, and thank you for a lifetime of service. You know, that's interesting. I was just thinking this morning, Sergeant Major, about the when you go on to Fort Snelling and when you go on to Memorial Day, and you almost want to capture lightning in a bottle, if you will, the feelings that you have, the sense of unity that people are there. Sometimes it's old friends, sometimes people you've never met before, but there's that sense of reverence, that sense of pride. I think for me, you know, as a young person, I feel somewhat blessed that those that are around me, you know, my dad and my uncle, they served Korean War era guys, and I think they kind of instilled it in you. But now it does take on something different. You know, we're asked to have folks go into situations that are dangerous, whether it's domestic or foreign. And I think you take it very seriously as you walk down those stones to think that each and every one of those lives were asked to go out there. They were asked to serve, and some of them did not come back. So I think it just takes on a different meaning. But I always feel like if we as a country could capture what today feels like at a place like Fort Snelling, and I'm sure it's replicated across the country, it sure seems like things would be more hopeful. So if you can, if Memorial Day is a solemn time, but there's also that deep sense of understanding what it means to be an American that really comes through.
I will tell you, Governor, this morning when I put my flag at half mast, you know, and I'll raise it up here afternoon, but I sat there and I looked at the flag this morning with that bright light shining on it and just, you know, the freedom, the liberties that we enjoy because of those that sacrifice, just a huge, deep meaning for me.
Yeah, it's really something, too, and it feels like to me, I don't know, sir, maybe if you feel like this, that you kind of let the hecticness of the day, the phone's in your pocket, you're not listening to the news. It's those quiet moments that you really wish we would maybe have a little more time to do that. It feels like Memorial Day is that. I know that a lot of folks are voting today. They're enjoying the fruits of freedom, which is the greatest gift that those who sacrifice give us. But I also think of folks who haven't ever attended, and, you know, it's not for me to tell them whether they should or not, but I would suggest go to one of these ceremonies. Pause and watch that. Listen to Taps echo in the background of Fort Snelling. It impacts who you are. It impacts how you see the country. And I think it makes you more optimistic for the future. If there were those that were willing to do all that they could to give us a chance, it really feels like that it is a positive, that we can do it.
Hey, sir, and, you know, I know you're going to Fort Snelling, and if you get the chance, just recently the 34th Infantry Division dedicated a monument out there in line with the other monuments, and it's well-placed. It's in a position of honor, they did a really good job raising money to put that there along with the other divisional monuments and other monuments that are out there around the main part of the cemetery there. So, you know, and it makes us all remember the history and lineage of the division and the great Minnesota soldiers and those that have given the ultimate sacrifice.
I really appreciate that, General. We'll be sure. We'll pay our respects this morning, but you're right, having that out there now and then. You know, Tom, I don't make a habit out of correcting United States senators, but I think the ceremony starts at 9:45 this morning. So if Senator Klobuchar is listening, my deepest apologies, but I think we start at that. And I would tell folks, if you want to see an amazing sight, is watch the wreath presentations by each of the service organizations. It's an impressive thing.
Governor, for our listeners, if they're not already there, get there soon, because it's going to be busy and it's going to be full. If you want to listen to those speeches, you better be there by now. Governor, one quick question. Just finished the legislative session. I know that last year we got a veterans omnibus bill, and in all the massive things that were happening, can you tell us what happened with the veterans legislation this year?
Yeah, it did it again. And what Tom's talking about for the listeners is the frustration people have, and it's just kind of the nature of you know, deliberative bodies. We lump a lot of things together, and then people are like, well, what the heck is in there? And, you know, how did this get in there? We made a decision, we being veterans, we being the commander's task force and myself, I believed very strongly that this should be pulled separate and we should debate veterans and military affairs on its own merit. And now for the last two times, and I'm going to say that every time going forward from here on out, we get that done. We put in about $47 million for our three veterans homes. We're going to be building a new Army Combat Fitness Test field house out at Arden Hills. We're going to expand those 9/11 bonuses. So any of your listeners out there who served since 9/11 but didn't sign up in Minnesota, you're now eligible for a thank you from the people of Minnesota. We've got re-enlistment bonuses, and General Menke will never... He's too humble to say this, but there's two states this year in a pretty tough environment with the way, you know, a lot of jobs are available. Texas and Minnesota were the two standouts in recruiting, and I think it goes a lot to the service that people have, and I think the state of Minnesota's gratitude. So, Tom, it did work. We really funded the things that needed to be, and I'm going to hit one last one on this veterans homelessness. Since we started the registry of going after this and wanting to become the fourth state to get rid of veterans homelessness, we placed 2,892 veterans in permanent housing. We got 317 left. So if you're a landlord out there, if you're somebody who knows about helping, let's get these final folks into permanent housing and make homelessness rare, brief, and one time.
Governor, we're running out of time, but a pretty exciting year. We got three new veterans homes and one new veterans cemetery coming up.
Yeah, it this state just... It is unbelievable in our commitment to it, and these are going to be cutting ribbons. And folks, if you're in Bemidji, Montevideo, or Preston, these veterans homes are a special place. The folks who are out there today at the ones across the state, our five homes, these are incredible places to be on Memorial Day too. And then I think veteran cemeteries are, Minnesota has been honored with this. The Preston Cemetery was honored as the best in the country. Our cemeteries, our groundskeeper, and I pull over there all the time and talk to the folks who are grooming those, and it almost never fails that somebody says, well, of course I'm doing this. You know, my dad's buried here, my brother's buried here, my neighbors are buried here.
Personal, Governor.
It's amazing. It is an amazing. If you haven't visited one of these folks, you're more than welcome to go out there, whether you have a loved one buried there or not. It's a real part of who Minnesota is, and you'll see some incredible murals up there in Little Falls. Just incredible part of our history. And a lot of times people don't feel like they should stop if they don't have someone there. We encourage you to stop. Learn the history.
Governor, thanks for joining us this morning, and hope you have a good speech out at Fort Snelling National Cemetery.
Thank you, Tom. You have a peaceful Memorial Day.
Thank you, sir. That was Governor Tim Walz in special edition of Minnesota Military Radio. General, we're just about out of time this afternoon. We're encouraging everyone at 3 o'clock to take a moment of silence. It's kind of important just to take a break.
It is, and you know, the real reason why we have a Memorial Day is to memorialize those that have given the ultimate sacrifice. And as Doug said earlier, if we say their name, we don't forget them. And I think it's important that we take that time.
It may be an opportunity for the grandchildren to ask Grandpa, Grandpa, did you serve? Where did you serve? Can you tell me something about it? Might be enlightening for the family.
Yeah, you know, and every time I get an opportunity to talk to young Americans, young children, I ask them if they have a grandfather or grandmother or a spouse or a mother or father that served, and to ask them about it.
General, thanks for joining us today in person again.
My pleasure, Tom and Doug. Thank you.
Thanks, General.
Doug, we're not quite done. I want to remind everybody that this special broadcast has been brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition, and they sponsor us every year, and we'd like to thank both of them. We're going to end the show today with Taps, and can you, do you want to have a few words on that, Doug? And thanks for getting up at O Dark 30 and joining us.
I do, and I want to also remind real quick, 3 o'clock today, moment of silence in honor of Memorial Day. Taps, it's a bugle call, and you know what? It comes from way back in the day. Close the beer taps is where it started, but even before that, Civil War, extinguish the lights, turn off the lights, and it's used to close out ceremonies, military funerals, and what a better way to close out this program to honor our fallen by playing taps.
Yeah, and thanks to all our listeners for joining us on this Memorial Day 2023. If you missed any part of it, you can go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and the podcast will be up there. And remember, if we remember, they're never forgotten. Zach, are you ready? And thanks for joining us, Zach and Bob, in the studio. Good work, man.